Chapter 19. Veronica doesn't stop to question him. She feels tense, tight, like there's no time for anything. Logan is standing in front of her protectively, and she hates that. Hates him being at risk, even though she knows there's no way to get him to back down. She takes the Sharpie out and forces herself to stop and take a deep breath. Study the symbol one more time, not rush. She draws the symbol carefully on the palm of her hand, and then begins to draw it on the roof, a much larger rendering. The door to the hotel opens a few moments later, and Cassidy comes out. He's alone, which is a huge relief to everyone. Logan continues to stand between him and Veronica, although more to block his view of what she's doing than to protect her. Cassidy looks different, somehow. Less frightened, more sure of himself. He views the assembled company and then lets out a snort. Figured it'd be you guys, Nancy Drew and Joe Hardy. You just couldn't let it go. Cassidy, Styles says, his voice even. It's over, okay? Don't do anything stupid. Oh, it's over, Cassidy agrees, but not for the reason you think. He gestures with what he's holding, and when Veronica looks up, she sees a gun in his hand. Her blood runs cold, and she can hear Derek growling. Once I've taken care of you. Forget it, Cassidy, Styles says, not even flinching. It's over. Your secret is out. Do you think we don't know why you're killing people? I'm sorry for what's happened to you, man. I really am. And if you'd killed Woody and stopped there, I wouldn't have said shit about it. But this... What do you know? Cassidy shouts. You don't know anything about it! It doesn't matter, Styles says. His eyes are changing now, turning to that crimson light. You want to shoot me? Shoot me. But you better have a lot of ammo, because unless those bullets are silver, you won't be able to kill me with that pea shooter. Cassidy hesitates, just for a moment. But it's there. Then his finger tightens on the trigger. You've got no idea what's happening here, Styles says. You think that you just stumbled upon this amazing weapon and that you could use it without consequences? That just because you managed to circumvent the law, a different sort of authority wouldn't find you? I am an alpha, and I have a pack to protect, and you are in waters way above your head. I don't care what you think, Cassidy says. I've come this far. I won't stop now. He looks over at the door as the Canima slinks out, low to the ground, and crouches by his side. I don't need bullets when I've got that. Styles gives an almost casual glance over his shoulder at Veronica, and she nods at him. You can kill us if you want, Cassidy, but your secret is out. My dad's already talked to a bunch of the parents of the other kids who were on Woody's teams over the years, kids with warning signs like drug use, suicide attempts, behavior problems. He's keeping it on the down low, but there are a lot of people who know Woody's true colors now. He watches Cassidy as the news sinks in, watches him shake his head in denial. But nobody knows about you. Marcos edited your voice off that recording he made. They were going to come forward, but they weren't going to betray your trust. You didn't need to kill them. It wouldn't matter, Cassidy says, his voice thin, like he's forcing the words out. It wouldn't matter if people knew. What would matter is what they would think. You've seen the people in this town. You know how it would go. The rumors, the whispers, that's how it would start. But it wouldn't end there. Styles lets out a breath. I'm really sorry, Cassidy, he says, but I'm not going to let you hurt anyone else. Let us help you. Cassidy's face twists in agony, and he shakes his head. And in that moment, Styles sees that he made a mistake. He pushed Cassidy too far. He had showed sympathy, which in Cassidy's mind was pity, and that was deadly. So he's not surprised at all when the Canima darts forward, fast. Faster than any werewolf he's ever seen. Not surprised to hear Cassidy screaming, "Kill them all!" in the background, like such an order is nothing. not surprised when Derek charges forward to meet the Kanema halfway between Cassidy and Styles, and both of them go tumbling to the ground. In that moment, he is completely defenseless, with Derek tangling with the Kanema, a heap of snarling, writhing flesh. He had not stopped to grab any of his weapons, and the others are just as vulnerable. They had known they might have to deal with the Kanema, but it hadn't occurred to him that Cassidy might have a gun. A stupid oversight, really. He'd had his pack to protect him for so long that he was starting to depend on them. All of this goes through his mind in the space of a moment as he watches Cassidy lift his gun. But he doesn't aim at him. He aims at Veronica. And that makes sense, too. He won't waste his bullets on somebody that he thinks, no matter how erroneously, bullets won't kill. He's just starting to move when Logan throws himself forward. Cassidy pulls the trigger, but the shot goes wide as Logan tackles him to the ground. Veronica screams, but the gun goes skidding away. Styles dives for it, throwing himself right on top of it in case Cassidy manages to squirm free. It takes him only a moment to pop out the clip and the chambered bullet, throwing both of them as far as he can. Then he leaves the gun lying there on the ground, just as Cassidy manages to get to his feet. There's a yip and a snarl, and Styles turns to see Derek skidding across the roof. "Go!" Cassidy shouts, and the Kanema leaps back to its feet and hurls itself at Veronica. Logan makes a wordless noise of protest, but Veronica is ready. She stands her ground, throwing both vials into the circle she's drawn and slamming the heel of her sneaker down onto them. They shatter, the blood and the venom mixing together. And then the Kanema is on her. It knocks her to the ground, both of them all the way inside the circle, its claws digging into her forearms. But in those bare moments before the venom kicks in, she presses her palm to the center of the Kanema's chest and says, "Cynthia McKenzie!" The lines drawn on the roof flare into a bright white light for a few seconds. Then they're gone. "Kill her!" Cassidy screams. "No!" Veronica says. And the Kanema does nothing. It simply stays crouched over her, never giving Cassidy a second glance. Styles feels his legs go weak with relief. "Oh, thank God it worked," he says. Veronica reaches up and puts her hand on the Kanema's cheek, for just a moment, before it flops, limply, back to the ground. Now she can't move at all. "It's okay," she chokes out. "It's okay. You're okay now. Mac, you're okay now." The Kanema starts to shift. The scales melt away, and a few moments later, Mac is there, naked and shivering. She looks around in wild confusion. "What? How did I... Mac?" Cassidy's voice breaks, and he stares at her. Styles looks at him, sees the disbelief, the heartbreak in his eyes. "You didn't know," he says, a little surprised. Mac looks over at both of them. Cassidy? "Okay, this is a little awkward," Styles says, wincing. "But, yeah, Cassidy, Mac, sorry we didn't, you know, figure it out sooner. Although, at least we figured it out before he used you to kill anyone else." Derek slips up beside Styles and puts a hand over his mouth. Mac stares at Cassidy, tears streaming down her face. "How could you?" she asks. I didn't know it was you. I thought it was just a monster." "Is that better?" Mac gets to her feet, unashamed, even unaware of her own nakedness, and slaps him across the face. "You used me! You turned me into a killer!" Cassidy takes a step back, flinching away from her. "Don't you dare!" Mac says, angrily wiping away the tears. "Don't you dare say you're sorry to me, Cassidy! Don't you dare!" He looks away, presses his hand against his mouth for a moment, like he's trying not to cry or scream. Then he nods, turns, and just walks away. Styles breathes a sigh of relief, then tugs his hoodie off and hands it to Mac. She chokes out a thank you and pulls it on. I just need a minute, she says, pulling away from them. Styles lets her go. Congratulations, he says to Veronica, who is still lying on the floor of the roof. As my dad would say, you did good. Thanks, she says, letting out a breath. I can't move. At least she didn't get it in your spinal cord, Styles says. It should wear off in an hour or so. We'll get you home. He's just got her arm around his shoulders and is preparing to lift her up when he hears Logan say, Cassidy, don't! He looks over to see that Cassidy has stepped up onto the ledge that separates them from the drop. Cassidy looks over his shoulder at them when he hears Logan's words, and Styles can see the despair, the utter defeat on his face. Why not? He asks. But he doesn't wait for an answer. He just steps over the edge. His body seems to hang there, suspended, for a moment that stretches on for an eternity. Then Max screams as he starts to fall. Styles sees her dive forward, sees her shift, the Kanema's long reptilian tail whipping out behind her, and then flicking forward, wrapping around Cassidy's waist just as he disappears from view. She's still only partially shifted when his weight starts to drag her over the edge, and she lands flat on her stomach, caught by his momentum and yanked off her feet. Styles sees her claw desperately at the flat tile of the roof, trying to slow herself down. But her face is still human, and he can see the fear in her eyes. He's running then, so is Derek, several steps ahead of him, but he has no idea if they'll make it to her in time. Derek reaches her just as she loses her grip and starts to fall, and leaps for her. Styles grabs him just as he manages to snag her by the wrist. Somehow, and later he's not even sure how, they all wind up hanging there. Cassidy is wrapped in Max's tail. Derek has both of Max's wrists in his hands. And Styles has his arms wrapped around Derek's ankle and calf. He's hanging halfway off the roof with Logan on top of his legs. Did you get her? Veronica cries out from where she's lying, paralyzed, clearly half mad from the terror of not even being able to turn her head and look. We got her! Styles shouts back. Cassidy, too! In response, he gets a muffled sob. Okay, he says, focusing on the matter at hand. We are going to do this slowly and carefully. Logan, whatever you do, do not move. If you get off me, their weight will drag me over. I'm not strong enough to hold on to them all by myself. Derek, I want you to lift Mac. Mac, you're going to have to get a hold of the ledge and pull yourself and Cassidy up. You can do it. You're a lot stronger than you realize. Even only partially shifted like that, okay? They start moving. Styles never stops giving instructions in that calm, even voice. Mac gets onto the roof with Cassidy, but doesn't let him go. Then Styles is able to squirm backwards an inch at a time, dragging Derek with him, with Logan's help. A few minutes later, they're all safe again. Cassidy just sits there for a minute, still with Mac's tail coiled around his abdomen. Then he looks over at her and whispers, Why? You idiot, she says, letting out a rough sob. I'm mad at you, okay? I'm really, really mad at you. But that doesn't mean I want you to die. Why would you even think that? I don't. And then Cassidy starts to cry. And Mac pulls him into an embrace. Her scales start to fade into skin, and then the tail is gone, so it's just her arms restraining him. Then fur starts to appear, at first down her spine and on the backs of her hands. She's shifting, Styles whispers, and she looks up at him because she heard him, even 10 feet away and under his breath. Her eyes are pure gold. He sighs in relief and pushes both hands through his hair, feeling like everything's going to be okay now. Then he pulls out his phone and says, Gotta make a few calls, before turning and walking away to give them a little privacy. Logan looks after him and shakes his head a little before turning to Derek. You just jumped right off the roof, he says. I mean, just bam! You didn't even look to see where Styles was. Derek gives a little shrug. I knew he would catch me.
Yeah, but how?
Logan asks.
Because he's my alpha.
Shit, Logan says, and laughs.
You people are all fucking nuts.
He walks over to Veronica and sits down on the roof next to her, lifting her up so he can cradle her against his shoulder. How are you doing? He asks.
I can move my toes, she says brightly.
Hey, that's progress, Logan says. Styles walks back over, tucking his phone away.
Cassidy's ride is going to be here in 20 minutes, he says.
He looks over at where Mac is still holding Cassidy in her arms.
I guess we can afford to let them have a few.
After a small eternity, Cassidy has finally calmed down enough that Mac is able to help him to his feet. She's staring at her hands and looks up at Styles with wild panic in her eyes.
I can't.
Easy, easy, he says, as Derek shifts uncomfortably.
We'll get you shifted back. No worries. Just breathe, okay?
Mac nods and takes in a shaky breath. He talks her through a few breathing exercises as she supports Cassidy's weight, and after another minute, manages to change back to her human form. Derek rubs a hand over her hair in comfort, and she manages a wan smile for him.
Okay, Styles says, and directs his attention to Cassidy. In a few minutes, we are going to go down to the lobby, and there's somebody coming to pick you up.
And take me where? Cassidy asks. He rubs a hand over his eyes and says, why don't you just kill me?
If you seriously think we are going to kill you after we did all that work to keep you from taking that one-step shortcut to the street, you are whacked off your gourd, Styles says.
No, I'm not a big fan of killing people, as a general rule, and I think there's been enough of it in Neptune for 1 year. The people coming are from an organization called Oblivion. They handle people like you, who've committed supernatural crimes and can't be prosecuted under mundane law. They also help people who have been victims, usually of the supernatural world, but hey, we can't be picky. They agreed to take you in after hearing about what you've been up to.
They just take your word on it, huh? You're some kind of big shot?
Actually, they have a very complicated voucher system that I think might involve actual chips or something, Styles says with a shrug. There are lots of rules in this world. You sort of leapfrogged most of them. But hey, so did I, at my first rodeo.
Cassidy wipes his face again, still clearly trying to get a hold of himself. They're just gonna lock me up forever, huh?
Cassidy, you're a murderer, Styles says, as gently as he can. 4 times over. Maybe you had your reasons, but that really doesn't mean shit in the grand scheme of things. Yeah, they're gonna lock you up. Maybe if you're lucky, you'll get out someday. I don't know. Once they pick you up, it's out of my hands. It'll be up to them. And up to you.
Why are you trying to help me? Cassidy asks.
Because you need help, Styles says. And because I don't want to have to kill you. I've killed before. It leaves scars on the soul. You don't realize that yet because you're still full of hatred. But you will someday. And then you'll have to live with them, just like I do.
For a long minute, Cassidy just stares into the distance. Finally, he turns back to Styles and says quietly, I'm a monster, aren't I? Like one of the monsters in your world.
Styles meets his gaze.
Yeah, he says. Yeah, you are. But that doesn't mean you always were, or that you always have to be.
Cassidy wipes the back of his hand over his eyes.
I'll go with them.
Okay. Styles gestures to the door that leads back into the hotel. Logan helps Veronica, but she still can't move her legs or arms. Derek decides to carry her and leave through the back. He obviously doesn't like letting Styles out of his sight, but the danger seems to be past. Instead, Logan goes with Mac to go back down to the hotel room and get her clothes. Or at least that's what he intends to do, before Cassidy shamefacedly admits that he stole them. Because, not realizing she was the Kanema, He didn't want her to follow him. They're wadded up in a ball on the staircase.
"What am I going to tell my brother?" Cassidy asks, looking away as Matt gets dressed. "He's an idiot, but he's not so thick that he won't notice if I go missing."
Stiles shrugs a little and says, "Oblivion will come up with some sort of fiction to feed your family. That's not my department."
By the time they get everyone downstairs, a black Hummer has pulled up. Stiles pulls a little face despite himself, but doesn't comment as an elegant woman, who looks like she just stepped out of Men in Black, gets out of the passenger side of the vehicle. She flicks a gaze up and down Stiles.
"You're Stilinski?"
"Yeah, and if you pull out a neuralizer, we're done," Stiles says.
"Like I've never heard that before," she says. "Where's the subject?"
Stiles pulls Cassidy forward. "He came willingly," he says, "if that makes a difference." She gives a shrug.
"Everything makes a difference," she says. "It's usually helpful if someone can come along, to be briefed on what to tell the family."
"I'll go," Logan says. "At least I actually know his family." He turns to Veronica and says, "You'll be okay?" She nods.
"I'll be fine," she says, and they exchange a quick kiss.
Cassidy says nothing as he heads towards the car door. Then Mac reaches out and grabs him by the wrist. He turns around to face her, red-eyed and trembling.
"I'm not going to say I'll wait for you," she says. "I don't know how I feel about anything right now. I need some time, like a lot of time, to work through all of this. But I want to see you again, Cassidy. I don't want this to be our last meeting. So try to get better, okay? Do you promise to try?"
Cassidy has to swallow hard before he can speak. Then he nods and says,
"I promise."
Mac hugs him tightly for just a minute. Then the woman from Oblivion opens the door of the car. Cassidy climbs in, and Logan follows him.
"Do you need anything from me?" Stiles asks. "Not that we don't already have," she says.
She gives him a look up and down.
"You are not what I expected."
"And yet, I am exactly what I appear to be," Stiles replies. The woman gives a snort and climbs into the car. A few moments later, it drives away. It's late by the time they get back to the house. Mac is still somewhat shocky, but Veronica has a tight grip on her, keeping her upright. Despite that, her gaze darts over to Stiles every few minutes. He gets them inside and ushers her into the living room.
"So, how are you feeling?"
There should be a word for wanting to run and run until this goes away and maybe punch Cassidy in the face, or cry, or use you like a pillow. All at the same time. Right now."
Matt gives a little sniffle.
"Crappy. The word is crappy." "Well, fortunately for you, I have a good cure for crappy," Stiles says. "It's a sofa, a mug of hot chocolate, a DVD of Red versus Blue, and me. I'm part of the cure."
"The running is tomorrow," Derek tells her quietly. "When the pack gets back, we'll find a place and you can run until it's out of your system."
Mac tries to smile. "We might have to go up into the mountains to find somewhere that I can do that much running." Stiles gives a little shrug as he dives into the cabinet for the cocoa.
"If that's what we need to do, then that's what we'll do. Cocoa, Veronica?"
Veronica nods.
"Please."
Derek stands close to Mac while Stiles works. Because, of course, with Stiles, it's not as simple as a packet of Swiss Miss. And then steps away for a moment, seeing how tense and edgy she is.
"Hang on."
He moves back to the door and all of the jackets and sweatshirts that have piled up on hooks there as the weather has grown colder. He comes back with one of Stiles' hoodies.
"Here."
Mac reaches for it automatically but asks, "Why are you giving me a sweatshirt?" But when she pulls it closer, she can smell Stiles all over it, and suddenly she's hugging it and shoving her face into it.
"Oh,"
she says, her voice muffled by the fabric.
"That's a little..." Veronica trails off, not wanting to insult Mac by saying weird. "Marshmallows?" Styles asks, for all intents and purposes, oblivious to what's going on around him. Mac's eyes peek out over the sweatshirt, and she nods. "Yes, please."
"We're wolves, Veronica," Derek says to her, because it's becoming clear that she's really going to have to understand this. "It's not just a neat trick that affects how we look on the outside. It's not all we are, but it can't be separated out either."
"That, yeah, I'm getting that," Veronica says. "I mean, I'm not trying to be rude. It's just, from an outside perspective, it's kind of weird, you know?"
"Oh, trust me, we know," Styles says. "Derek grew up with it, but it took a lot of getting used to for the rest of us. The instincts, the impulses, they couldn't be ignored. But at the same time, some of us had the urge to resist at least a little. I mean, try being a 16-year-old boy who suddenly wants to have sleepovers with his friends every night. Every night. And not just in his room, but in his bed."
"How do you learn to live with it?" Veronica asks.
"Yeah, and is that going to happen to me?" Mac pipes up. "Because my parents will notice that something is up."
"Well, yeah, it'll happen to you. But we're used to hosting illicit sleepovers when necessary," Styles says. "And it does get better with time. I mean, in addition to all the wolf stuff, I was fucking traumatized. This was right after Peter Hale swept in and fucked all our lives sideways with a corkscrew. Sorry, Derek. And so we were all pretty freaked out. It's nowhere near as bad as it used to be. But it's not learning to live with it. We enjoy it. So we make accommodations."
"No, that's a pretty good description of what he did," Derek says. "We were both traumatized. He murdered Laura."
Derek clearly forces those words out. And then he rubs both hands over his face.
"The point is that we're tighter knit than normal."
"But hey, that's okay," Styles says, turning around with two mugs of cocoa and handing one to Mac. "Because you're traumatized too, so we know how it is."
"Because my boyfriend used me to murder people when I was a lizard."
The hand she's holding the mug in starts to shake. Derek wraps his hand around hers to steady it.
"I guess he's my ex-boyfriend now, though."
"Well, at least he didn't know it was you," Veronica says, taking the other mug from Styles. She's not feeling a lot of love for Cassidy at the moment, but she knows that pointing this out will make Mac feel better. I mean, that would have just been a whole new level of awful.
"He felt a good time to invite me to a romantic overnight was literally an hour after he killed Goodman," Mac says, and takes a sip of her cocoa.
"Can I have some liquor in this?"
"We can't get drunk on normal alcohol," Derek informs her. "Our metabolisms are too fast."
"That sucks," Mac says. "Well, you can," Styles says, "but you have to drink a lot of it. You'll be okay."
He puts an arm around her shoulders and pulls her into a half hug, pressing his cheek against her hair.
"You'll be fine."
Mac turns into his embrace.
"You sure?" she asks.
Derek starts herding Veronica into the living room to give Mac a few minutes of quiet. He figures he can get the DVD set up. Styles rubs a comforting hand over her hair.
"Trust me, a lot of awful things have happened in my life, but we always come out on top. I'm like one of those boxing dolls. Life hits me and I just spring right back up. And you are going to be right there with me. Not trying to come on to you or anything, but, well, let the wolf in you listen to this, okay? I'm here for you. Whatever you need, I will take care of you, and nothing will hurt you while I'm around."
Derek's head snaps up and towards Styles, and he nearly drops the DVD case.
"Fuck," he blurts out as he tries to catch it, grabbing it just before it hits the floor.
Although he does it absently, attention still on what's happening in the kitchen.
"What? What is it?" Veronica demands, feeling tension start crawling up her spine.
Styles just adopted her into the pack, Derek says. He's clearly startled, but not upset.
Is that bad? Veronica ventures.
No, pack is never bad, or never should be bad, anyway. It's family, and Styles is a good alpha. He has a good instinct for it.
Derek moves back towards the kitchen, but cautiously, not wanting to interrupt. He stops in the doorway, clearly waiting for permission to come in. Styles is still holding Mac, and she's gone limp against his shoulder, while he stands there, rubbing comforting circles into her back. He looks up when Derek comes in, his eyes gleaming crimson, and then blinks.
Oh, shit! I just meant to make her feel better, he says, somewhat chagrined.
I guess what she needed to feel better was a pack, Derek says with a little shrug.
Well, hopefully the others won't mind that I skipped all the protocol, Styles says. He releases Mac, but leaves an arm around her shoulders.
Better?
Mac nods.
Much. More steady.
She tucks her hair behind her ear.
The pack thing is a real deal, isn't it?
She adds, giving Derek a shy, worried look. Derek finally moves into the kitchen and walks over to them.
It is, but it's a good thing, he says, rubbing a hand over her hair like Styles had, then leaning down to rub his cheek against hers, in greeting.
He gives Styles a dry look and says, I'm making you explain.
Because everyone loves it when I try to explain things, Styles says, rolling his eyes. But, well, it is sort of like an adoption. We're all a big family. I'm the dad, and Derek is the mom, and everyone else is brothers and sisters, and we're all family-like. Except there's magic involved, which means that there's a bond that draws us together, that lets us know how the others are feeling, if they're in danger, if something's wrong. It makes us want to spend time together, even if, in normal social circles, these are people we would never speak to. Like, say, Lydia and Danny. Pack just... it's just pack. You can't explain it. You just have to feel it.
Derek gives that huffing noise that's a precursor to a laugh. I meant I was going to make you explain to the rest of the pack, but that wasn't bad, really.
Oh, shit! Styles says, and rubs a hand over the back of his head.
To Mac and Veronica, he says,
it's, kind of bad form for me to accept new pack members without getting everyone's approval first. I mean, it's not like you're a complete stranger, and I'm sure they won't mind, but still, they might be annoyed.
With him, not at you, Derek says to Mac. You, we just want to cuddle. Let me know when you feel up to having me explain the basic mechanics of being a werewolf and being in a pack.
Information is good, Mac says. I would love information. I think it might help me process.
Come on then, Styles says, tugging her into the living room and settling down on the sofa.